Good morning. Please be seated. So it's wonderful to have with us this morning a familiar face, although maybe not to those listening online. Reverend George Lee George, it's lovely to have you with us today, and we look forward to hearing how Betty is later on. Just a few notices, if I may. Wednesday at 1:45, here at church, out the back, there is a meeting with the architect to look at the development of Steptoe's Yard. So if you're interested in what that's going to look like, please come along and have your questions ready and come and explore what's actually going to be happening. We believe there is an Ascension Day service on Thursday at Argentsmead at 7:30 a.m. So for those of you who wish to go to that, we believe that's happening. It would be, I'd say it'd be lovely to see you. Unfortunately, I'll be at work. Tony and Christine visited Lily Sharrett this week, and she wishes to be remembered to all of us. Paul.
I don't know how many of you travelling through Hinckley this morning noticed a gentleman sleeping rough at Scope. So I went out to him this morning, and it's always a difficult conversation and to get started. But one of the blessings that we had is I asked him if he needed a backpack, had one with me. And he said, no, I've already got one, thank you. Because Ruth had already supplied him with a backpack. So if you encounter Paddy, he's a lovely gentleman. We need to be aware as a church, because Hinckley is on a certain path down to London usually, this is the time of year that people who are homeless start to move around a little bit around the country because the weather's improving. They're not going into the usual places where they can hunker down. So these people are moving around a little bit more this time of year. So if we can be aware, the backpacks are available. So if you can include Paddy in your thoughts as well. I have spoken to him about services and offering what we can help with. So I'll chase that up. But if you can please include these people, who, for whatever circumstance, there but for the grace of God. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. And George, over to you.
Our call to worship comes from the Old Testament book of Deuteronomy. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. The Lord your God belonged to the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your forefathers and loved them, and he chose you, their descendants, above all nations, as it is today. We sing, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow.
Thank you.
we join together in prayer. And we say, good morning, Lord. Here we are again in your house. We come to praise you, to thank you for all that you've done for us and are doing for us. We thank you for sending Jesus to rescue us, to save us, to redeem us. We are your children. And we find it wonderful that we're able to speak to you, to listen to you in this way. We say thank you for the world with all its wonder and majesty and colour. We thank you for the smallest of your creation. Yes, Father, those that make us itch. From that smallest itch to the largest of your creation, we say thank you. We say thank you for our families and all those who love us and care for us, people we meet here in church and at home. We have friends that care about us, that help us in many different ways, and we offer our thanks to you. So we ask you to bless us all as we worship you, as we sing our hymns, listen to the readings. And Father, if we can't find you, touch our hearts and minds. Tell us that you're here. We need your blessing. We need to hear your voice. So bless our worship, our listening and our learning, because we worship and praise you in the name of the living Lord Jesus Christ. And so we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Well, good morning. It's good to be here. I like this spot. I like leading worship and telling people about the gospel of the living Lord Jesus. Our word this morning is humble. And we look at two scripture readings that contain that word. Jackie reads our first one.
First reading is from Micah 6, verses 6 to 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has showed you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Thanks be to God.
We come to our second hymn. Have you heard God's voice? We sang this some few weeks ago. And I understand it's David's sister who sent him a copy of the music. We used it in one of our cameo meetings, which we hold in Churchmead Court, and got some very nice conversation with it and about it. Have you heard God's voice?
A reading from Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, imitating Christ's humility. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.
We now make our offerings, please. Father, we place our gifts next to the cross and the Bible that remind us how much you gave to us, how much you are giving to us, and all that we give to you is in this plate. But we know that you will accept our giving and accept our love. But we offer you our thanks and place our gifts here in the name of the living Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The joy of leading worship is that you can choose the hymns that you like, and our next hymn is one that I do really like, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. It would be very wrong of me this morning if I didn't say thank you to all of you for your love and care that's been surrounding us these past few weeks. I'm delighted to say that Betty is going in the right direction now and feeling much better, getting around the house much better, and even going out. So thank you for your love and prayers. And we hope that one of these fine days you'll see her in her seat. Uriah Heep is a Dickens character in David Copperfield. In one chapter of this book, he talks about how humble he is. Humble, yes, very humble, he says. What does the Lord require of us? According to Micah in the Old Testament, and he asked the questions, shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000 of rivers of oil? So come on, hands up. How many of you have got thousands of rams and dozens of litres of oil? Nobody then. According to Micah, it's a very simple answer. What does the Lord require of you? He asks. And then says, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You know, I like many things. It's easier to read and harder to do. Let's look at the New Testament reading, as that tells us a lot about being humble as well. More to the point, it tells us a great deal about Jesus. Jesus, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So let's look at Micah's question. What does the Lord require of you? And then there's Paul's writing to the church at Philippi. Speaks of an attitude we should have. It's like that of Jesus. Not easy to be or do. It's easy to read it though, isn't it? A quick look through the Gospels tell us about Jesus' attitude. Remember Palm Sunday? As we recall the journey of Jesus into Jerusalem on a humble animal, a donkey. It was a simple journey, but made more noticeable by the actions of the crowd. Some took off their cloaks and laid it on the floor so that the donkey could walk over it. Some cut off branches that they waved in the air, and some laid them on the road. There was singing, there was chanting, Hosanna to the Son of David. The Old Testament prophet Zechariah wrote, see, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And that day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem fulfilled that particular prophecy from the Old Testament. But that's the problem, isn't it? You turn over two pages at once. It's interesting as to what happened next. Triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and then into the temple he went. And in the temple area, he drove out all who were buying and selling there. It was a place where you exchanged your Roman currency for the temple money. You couldn't pay your temple tax in Roman currency. But Jesus overturned the money changers' tables and the benches of those selling doves. It is written, he said, my house will be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of robbers. What a contrast to the entry into the city. Jesus, at this point, looked far from humble. Coins and doves must have been all over the place. And I have fun thinking about the children scrabbling about on the floor, collecting all the coins that they could. I think this verse tells us that we can be angry at some things in our world. Just think for a moment where all the problems are in our world. How many would we like to address and shout at the top of our voice, stop! This is God's creation. These are God's people. This is God's land that you are destroying. Stop and help these people to live a correct life, a peaceful life. Would we dare? Perhaps we do in our prayers. John, in his gospel, tells us of an incident that takes place in the temple court, and it knits together act justly and love mercy. And this is the scripture. Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, they command us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? I think these men were a very nosy lot. They'd been looking. They knew what was happening. Perhaps they pointed their finger at this woman before. It was a trick incident. Come on, Mr. Jesus. Moses say this woman should be stoned. But what do you say? It surprised me, I think, to be reminded that what actually happened was that Jesus started to write on the ground with his finger. But the people kept questioning him. And he straightened up and said to them, any one of you who is without sin, let him be the first to cast to throw a stone at her. Is this justice? If it is justice, who is it justice for? I think Jesus certainly had mercy for this woman. She was in enough trouble without Jesus pointing his finger at her. What Jesus has done is to show her mercy. What does the Lord require of you? Jesus acted justly. He'd shown his love for mercy and walked humbly among the community. But what was he like in the community? He healed Peter's mom-in-law quite early on in his ministry. And then she got up and made them a meal and made them all feel at home. He loved and blessed the children that the disciples wanted to send away. He took time out to go with Jairus and heal his daughter. And remember, Jairus was a ruler in the synagogue, so he was on the other side, we might suggest. People at the door didn't believe Jesus could help. They were screaming and crying. Here is Jesus helping everyone and anyone. Both Mark and Luke tell us of an instance of four men lowering their friend down through a roof to the feet of Jesus so he could be healed. In the storyteller's Bible, written by Bob Hartman, he tells a great story of this incident. He's made the story center around a little girl who lives in the house where these men came and lowered their friend to the feet of Jesus. Hartman suggests in his words that the owner of the house was someone special. There's a discussion as to who has the authority to forgive people's sins. It's either your sins are forgiven or you take up your bed and work, was Jesus' thoughts. The host said that only God can forgive sins. Well, they all know much different when Jesus left, that he was the Son of God who acts justly, loves mercy, and walks humbly with our God. That man rolled up his bed and walked out of the house. You know, the three words in Micah, we see plenty of people on the news holding placards with justice for, and then there is something underneath. Perhaps the most amazing event in the past few weeks has been the postmaster scandal. Some of them have been arrested, even sent to prison. People have lost their homes, thousands of pounds, and it's broken marriages. No wonder people come with placards, because these people need justice for what somebody did. And by the sounds of it, each evening on the news as they report, they're still in trouble. There must be millions of people in our world who need justice. We have a cleaner each week, Natalia. She comes each week to clean for us, and she does work in other people's apartments in the house as well. She's lived in Burbage for just over 12 months now with her daughter and her husband. She comes from Ukraine. At 11 o'clock, we generally put the kettle on for coffee and we sit and we drink and we chat. She has a problem understanding our local language. Well, we don't understand all that she says to us. Does the Ukraine need justice? Betty wonders, do the Russians need justice? But let me stop at this point for a moment and go off at a tangent. I've been thinking about this for quite some weeks. There was an election recently in Russia. Fixed, the West said. Putin said it was fair and true. But Putin looks almost invincible at times. I've got news for him, if he's listening. He'll not live forever under his own power. He'll not live forever under his own power. I've read during my preparation that justice is a central theme of the Old Testament. And just as we had examples of Jesus, there are examples in the Old Testament about the children of Israel. Think about the things that they did. But God still loved them. God still cared for them. He got them out of slavery in Egypt. He got them across the Red Sea as the Egyptians raced after them. But their time in the wilderness was often a time for complaining. No water, nothing to eat. But God provided for them because God loved them. There are many parallels with the children of Israel for us today. It may be that the human race is never satisfied with what we've got, and we always want more. Justice is about being brought into line with God's will. As believers in the living Lord Jesus Christ, we're expected to work for justice during our personal life, in our society, here in our church, and amongst our family, and in the community in which we live. What does the Lord require of us? And this is it. God is our creator. We should live to his rules, his plan. It should be obvious, in fact, to those that we meet, act justly. Mercy is having compassion. Is having compassion for those in need, those being treated badly. Mercy is about God forgiving our sins. God's compassion and mercy is seen in his covenant relationship with his people. It's seen in his fatherly care, his answers to our prayers. He gives us what we need and possibly at times what we don't want. It's because of God's mercy that our sins are forgiven. And at this spot, it means redemption. If we received a penalty for our wrongdoing, we won't be going to heaven. It is out of God's love for mercy that he sent Jesus Christ to redeem us and forgive us. So what does the Lord require of us? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. And the attitude we should have is like that of Jesus Christ. And so from this moment on, we should make sure we walk humbly with God our Father. Amen. We sing, "All I once held dear."
There he is.
Thank you, George. We continue with our prayers of intercession. So many things to pray about, isn't there, as we look at the world? And just like to think about what's really on your heart this morning. I'm sure there's something that's sort of working you up inside. There's 5 points that I've got here that I'd like to pray about. And then at the end, we'll leave ourselves time to really think about that thing that's inside us that we really want to pray about today, if that's okay. So let's continue. And we'll continue to think about those words that George has been sharing with us. So let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Just when we think, Lord, from that tiny little thing that makes us itch to the size of the sun, how big you are, Lord. Just, it blows us away, Lord. And so, as you ask us to, as you tell us to, we humbly come to you. And we remember, Lord, that you know what we ask for before we ask for it. But Lord, we still come. Lord, there are so many things that we can petition to you about today, Lord. What a world, what a place we live in. And as George has already mentioned today, many of the things that we would bring to you. But Lord, let's first of all think of our neighbours and our brothers and sisters here in this place. Lord, there are so many that are yearning for your support, your care and love. There are those, Lord, who are physically struggling, Lord. We pray, Lord, for those who have been into or are coming out of hospital. Lord, we just remember you are the Creator God. You spoke and the whole world came into being, Lord. We remember who you are and what you have done. And we think how much you can do for us, Lord, when we're struggling. Lord, we pray for Ruth today and those, as I say, who are having or have been into hospital and are going into hospital this week. We pray for our brothers and sisters in this church and the churches around Hinckley who are struggling with your word and struggling with other issues. We thank you, Lord. We thank you because we know you answer prayer. Lord, we think of mission and the work that we have to do in this place. Lord, we think of the Hope into Action project. We ask your hand to be upon that with all of those who are working towards making this project work, Lord. We look forward to the day when we can share the news of you with those who move into this place, where we can welcome people into our church family. Because of that work, because of that project. Lord, we think of the Christian Aid Week coming up in a few weeks' time. We thank you, Lord, for the work that's been done around the world for so many years. And Lord, we ask for strength for those who continue to do your work around the world in difficult circumstances that are only going to get more and more difficult. Lord, we pray for those who are working in war-torn places in the world and where there's real difficulty in these times. We hear of amazing things happening in in Gaza in your name, Lord. And I'm sure there have been amazing things happening in Ukraine and also in Russia. Lord, may you be glorified through the work of the mission field. Those out doing mission, Lord, help them and support them, give them the strength they need. And also we think of, as Paul mentioned earlier, those who are living homeless in and around this place, Lord. Give us the words to say when we go out and meet with those who need us, Lord. Help us to be a listening ear and to be you in these places. Lord, we think of our families. Lord, we also think of those who have no family. Lord, we are so blessed in this place that when we look around, we see brothers and sisters, even though we may not be relatives through blood, Lord. We see brothers and sisters here to support us. So, Lord, today we think of Paul and Nettie Deeming and Sue Taylor and all of our friends who are bereaved or suffering in some way or other. For those who have issues within their families, Lord, may you be in that place. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we pray for this church, for the leaders, the workers, and the groups that meet in this place. Lord, we pray for the work that's going on in the back room. Lord, may you be glorified. May Robin be learning. I'm not sure if there's anybody else out there. May those who have not come today feel the draw back to you, Lord, who have not come to the back room. We pray for the leaders as well. We pray for the work that Paul does. Lord, we pray for Andrew as he has his rest time away, but soon coming back, Lord. And Candid and Tavonga as well, Lord, as they get to meet up again as a family. Lord, we look forward to Andrew coming back full of steam and fully charged, ready to declare who you are, Lord, in this place and around this town. And Lord, also as the uniformed organisations meet, as the dance school meets, and as the drama school meets in the back room, Lord, we pray that we may speak with them justly and humbly and with mercy, Lord, as we come into contact with those who may not know you at all. Lord, we ask for the right words to say. Lord, may we be a light on a lampstand to them, even a mirror, just reflecting your love. Lord, finally, we come to consider world leaders, Lord. As we've had voting locally, Lord, and as we look at all that's happening in our own government, but also around the world, we've already mentioned Ukraine and Russia, Lord. We pray for those leaders, for people in the positions of power over others. Lord, may they focus on what is right. May they focus on you rather than their own desires. May those in government focus on you rather than politics itself and who is in power. May we all know, Lord, that you are in power. And it is by your power that we should be in this world doing what we do, saying what we say. Lord, may all things be in you and through you. Oh, whole world is the Lord, is yours, Lord, and everything in it. And may we act justly and humbly, loving mercy, remembering that. Lord, I'd also just like to pray for those who are listening online who cannot attend, who cannot be with us today. Lord, may they remember that they are part of this family. May we offer peace to them in your name, Lord. And in all things, may you be lifted high in this place, in this town, and on the earth. In your name, Lord, we pray. Amen.
We end our service with love divine, all loves excelling.
Thank you.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. For the Lord lift up the light of his countenance and give you his peace. We say the grace together and to each other. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.